On the way here this morning, I said to my wife, Monica, this will be the last cold day, I'm sure of it. And she looked over at me and she said, I doubt it. I'm glad that you chose to worship with us here today, that you came out and braved the cold. Good to see you and good to be here in the house of the Lord. If you happen to miss any of the messages in this series or any of our other series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch and listen to those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, in this series, we're in the book of Exodus. We're in the seventh week. We have a few more weeks to go. In a week or two, we're going to have Randy Larson come here up on stage and Mark Franzen. Both of them went together to Uganda back in the fall, and so they're going to tell us about their trip and what they learned and what they saw and what God is doing over there in Uganda. So that's in a few weeks, and looking forward to that. And then we have just a few more weeks of this series before we wrap it up. If you've never read the book of Exodus, or maybe you haven't read Exodus in a while, I want to encourage you to read it. We're not going to cover everything in this book, but we're going to cover some of the major points and highlights. Last week, we left off on a high note. God used Moses to part the Red Sea, and over 2 million people crossed over. What happened when the Egyptians tried to cross the Red Sea? Well, the Lord swept them into the sea. The sea came crashing down back over them, and they drowned. And consequently, the Israelites never saw their enemies again. And what ensued? What happened next? A song of deliverance. They sang to the Lord with all their hearts. Much like we do here on Sunday morning, right? That's what we should be doing. Singing out to the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for what He has done for us. And that's exactly what they did. So let's jump right back into our story, right back into Scripture here. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. So then after this miraculous deliverance, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to who? To the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me what? Victory. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. I will lift Him up. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and army He has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Well, what is it the Lord has rescued us from? What is it that God has rescued you and me from? And I would say it's the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. And Paul says it like this in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. For He, the Lord, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Now, what should that cause us to do? Knowing that Jesus purchased our freedom and forgave our sins, what should that move you and me to do? To sing a song of praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be singing a song of praise to Him every day, exalting Him, lifting Him up. Are you singing a song of praise? I don't know perhaps someone who is always maybe complaining. Monica, my wife, says that my favorite word is frustrated. I'm so frustrated with fill in the blank. Whatever it is that's going on in our society today, I'm frustrated with it, right? Or I'm so frustrated with this situation or this person at work or at the school or on the team, right? Or in my family, I'm frustrated. I'm complaining about it. Am I the only one who feels and acts this way? I don't think so. Certainly the Israelites felt this way. How do we know that they felt this way? Because 3 days later, after Moses had parted the Red Sea, 3 days later, they had forgotten what God had done for them and were complaining. They were frustrated. Let's jump right back into our story, verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases, any of those plagues, remember the 10 plagues, I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what? I am the Lord who heals you. What is it I want you to notice here in these verses here in this scripture? The Israelites thought they had arrived at an oasis. What is an oasis? We all probably know what an oasis is. The definition would be a fertile spot in a desert where water is found. This was anything but an oasis. Instead, it was a disappointment. Maybe you're disappointed with the way things have turned out in your life. You never thought you'd be in the position you're in today. You never saw things unfolding the way they're unfolding right now in your life. Maybe at your school, on your team, in your family, or in your career. You never thought this would happen. If this is the case, what is it you need to do? Don't complain, but listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. Listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. What happens when you listen carefully to what God is saying to you? He will turn what's becoming possibly a bitter situation into a good situation, a healthy situation. How? By healing you. And perhaps that's what you need the most here today. You know, the Lord wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. The question is, do you want to do the things that honor and please him? Do you want to do the things that honor and please him? What happens when you do these things? Things that jump right back into Scripture, verse 27. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. I think we'd all agree that we desire a true oasis, a place where we can find rest in our lives, right? Peace, if you will. Peace of heart, peace of mind. However, there is something that continues to keep us from that rest, from resting. What is it? It's one word. Disobedience. Disobedience keeps us from experiencing the rest that God has for us. Continuing on in Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death? What is it I want you to notice here? This is now the third time they complained about their situation. First, it was because of fear. The Egyptians are going to get us. Right? They're going to kill us. And what happened? Moses parted the Red Sea, crashed over them, and they never saw their enemies again. The second time, it was because of a lack of water. We don't have anything to drink. The water's not good. The water's bitter. We're thirsty. The third time now is because of a lack of food. We don't have anything to eat. We had pots of meat before. We had all the bread we wanted. Well, what is it the Lord wanted? He wanted them to stop complaining. That's what he wanted. Why? Because in each of these situations, he said, I got this. I got this. And I don't know what it is you're struggling with today, what it is that's heavy on your heart. But the Lord is saying to you, I got this. This situation that you got yourself into, I got this covered. I am in control. Continuing on in verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. What are we doing when we complain? What are we doing? What are you and me doing when we're complaining? We're demonstrating a lack of trust in God to provide. When you and me complain about things, we're really demonstrating a lack of trust in God to provide. What are we doing when we take out our frustration on those around us? Maybe those in our family, our friends, our teammates, our coworkers. What are we doing when we take out our frustration on these people? We're really taking out our frustration on God. Why? Because these people that we're frustrated with are made in His image and likeness. So it's not them we have a problem with. Deep down, who do we have a problem with? take out our frustration on other people, we have a problem with Him. We're not satisfied ourselves, and we take out our anger and our frustration, and it's really, we're taking it out on God. Listen to how this is worded here in chapter 16, verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "By evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your complaints, which are against Him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us?" Then Moses added, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for He has heard all your complaints against Him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us." Now here's a question for you. Did the Lord give them what they wanted despite their complaining? Did He give them what they wanted? Yeah, He did. Why? I wouldn't have. Right? When my daughter Eden complains, I'm like, "You're not getting it," right? Whatever it is that she wants to do. She's like, "Daddy, I want to play Smash Brothers again." Right? Nintendo Switch. Got to limit that time on that thing. I'm like, "You're not getting it. You've been whining. You've been complaining." No. Did God give them what they wanted despite their complaining? Yes. Why? Because He's a gracious God. He's so good, so loving. Verse 13. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. Frosted flakes. I don't know. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it's the food the Lord has given you to eat. Here's a question for you and me. What is it the Lord has given us to eat? What has He given us to eat? Well, according to Jesus, He has given us Himself to eat. We're to feed off of Him. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, John 6:57, "I live," Jesus says, "because of the living Father who sent me." In the same way, anyone who what? Feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. What is it you're feeding on today? What is it that you're really feeding on today? What is it that you're really living for today? That you're all about that? Sad to say, most people today are feeding on trash. Most people today are feeding on trash. Social media is the thing that feeds them, their mind and their heart. Do you remember what Jesus said when Satan tempted Him in the wilderness? It's one of our core values here, Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, "People do not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." People don't live by bread. People don't live by living for the things of this world. They feed off of and they live off of Jesus. When's the last time you opened your Bible just devoured Scripture. That you opened it up and you just sat and you said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening to your voice carefully. Your servant wants to hear from you today." You know, most Christians are starving themselves to death spiritually. God has given us His instructions. However, my fear is that we're not applying them because we're not reading them. Continuing on verse 16. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. Do you ever get angry about the things that matter to God? Keeping His instructions matters to God. Do you ever get angry about the things that matter to God? Really mad? Frustrated about that, right? Passionate about that? What are the things that matter to God? Well, James 1:27, James tells us this: pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Are we taking care of orphans individually, collectively as a body? I talked with Monica about this the other day. We've been supporting 2 kids through Compassion International for, I think it's about the last 18 years now. It's about $40 a month per child. So for the two of them, $80 a month, roughly around there. Takes care of them, provides for them. They share the gospel with them. They work with these kids. I think it's wonderful what we do for Operation Christmas Child. Preparing these gift boxes for the kids so that they have a present. What if we took care of the child and all of their needs every month? We went even a step further. How about the second half of this verse? Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Are we letting this world corrupt us? Sometimes I'm not so sure we look any different from the world around us. I mean, we do all the things they do. We do all the things everybody else does today, meaning we keep the same schedule, except on Sunday. Oh, correction. Sunday is no longer set apart as holy. You've heard me say this before. Across all churches, all denominations, the average regular church attender comes once a month. That's maybe 12 times a year at most. What about you? Maybe you need to do a little self-examination. Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message. If you haven't been hearing the message, your faith isn't going to be where it needs to be. Your relationship with the Lord's not going to be where it needs to be. Because you're not being fed. Was it any different in Moses' day? Did they struggle with the same things we struggle with? Let's jump right back into Scripture, verse 21. After this, the people gathered the food, morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, four quarts for each person instead of two. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day, set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today, and set aside what is left for tomorrow." So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather food for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground on that day." Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. Notice that last phrase there. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. Why do we go out on the seventh day anyway? Why do we go out? We believe we'll find some food, right? That's what we believe. Why do we go out anyway? Because we believe we'll find food. In other words, we believe we'll be satisfied. We'll be fulfilled. That's what we believe. That the sport or the thing that we do can provide the nourishment that we need. And so we run to it over and over again. By the way, who is the Sabbath really for? Who is the Sabbath? It's for us. God gave it to us as a gift. Why is it a gift? Because according to God's word, we don't have to work or run anywhere. Instead, we get to worship Jesus. We get to worship the Lord. So what the Lord asked Moses, he asked you and me today. What did he ask them? Let's read on, verse 28. The Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is what? The Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day." So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. So what is it the people needed to do? What is this really about? It's about depending on the Lord. They needed to depend on the Lord. They had become independent. I don't need the Lord. I don't need to listen to his instructions. I don't need to worship in his house. If we're not careful, we fall into that pattern ourselves. We start to conform to the pattern of this world, living and doing everything that everybody else does. And just in case they forgot this, the Lord drove this point home at Rephidim. What happened at Rephidim? About to wrap up here, last passage of Scripture. Exodus 17, verse 8. When the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek, attack them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Ur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. As long as he was holding his hands up, praising the Lord, they had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, right? Whenever we drop things, whenever we forget about the Lord, whenever we start doing our own thing, the Amalekites gain the advantage. The evil one gains the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So, Moses and Ur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, doing what? What were they doing? Holding up his hands. Moses needed someone to hold him up, much like you and me do. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us, to hold us up. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. So what do we learn from this? What do we take from this? First, we need to pray without ceasing. You and me need to have a conversation with God all day long. What are we demonstrating that when we're praying and talking to the Lord throughout our day? We're demonstrating that we're dependent on the Lord, like the air we breathe. Lord, I need you more than I need anything else that this world has to offer me today. The second thing we need to lift each other up. We need to lift each other up. When we pray and lift each other up, what happens? Our complaining goes away. Let me say that again. When we pray, demonstrating that we're dependent upon the Lord and not what's going on around us, or our circumstances, and when we lift each other up, when we encourage each other, our complaining, our frustrations, they go away. Why? Because we will experience victory instead of defeat. Just like Moses and the Israelites experienced here. So are you praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying for them? What about your classmates and teammates, co-workers and bosses? Maybe you'd be honest and say, I haven't been praying for these people. Instead, these are the people I've been complaining about. God, please help me. Please help me, Lord. I don't want to be complaining about these people who are made in your image, in your likeness, because it demonstrates that I have a deeper problem. It demonstrates that I really have a problem with you, God, and my heart's not in the right place. Instead, I want to love these people. These people on this bridge. These people that think and act differently than I do. God, please help me to love them, whoever them is, for you. In your sphere, circle of influence that you will encounter this week. didn't know the Lord, and I thought, I don't know. It's because she wasn't seeing the people God had placed right in front of her who needed the Lord. And as she prayed that prayer, God began